The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Football Friday edition of the Leach Report. Welcome into the program. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington on this chilly Friday, but better weather is ahead. Actually, supposed to be in the mid-50s and sunny tomorrow for the game, so that's good news. Coming up today, we will talk Kentucky football with Jeremy Jarman. You'll hear him with Christy Thomas and Dusty Bonner on our UK Network Countdown to Kickoff show starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow from Kroger Field. Mike Pratt, who normally is with us on Thursdays, we let him sleep in yesterday because of that ridiculously late start on Wednesday. So Mike will be here. And TJ Beisner from CoachCal.com. And also we'll finish up with Brian Miller from the Bluegrass Sports Commission. That's our guest lineup, always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat News of the Day. That's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. And tomorrow's Senior Day, and hopefully if you have tickets, you will either use them or give them to somebody who can, because it needs to be a big and boisterous crowd there for the Kentucky seniors. If you're frustrated with the loss last week, I understand. Somebody tweeted me that they were going to come for Senior Day and then leave. Well, if that's what it has to be, then fine. But hopefully you'll stay. But I think it would be great if they had a big crowd for the seniors who have accomplished a tremendous amount and still have some things they can accomplish. Tomorrow, things you might see. Josh Allen with a sack would set a career record for sacks and a single season record for sacks. He could also break the school record for tackles for loss tomorrow. Jen Smith had a story this week about Mike Edwards. He needs one tackle to join the 300 tackle club. He'd be only the second defensive back ever at Kentucky to do that. The other, by the way, Daryl Bishop, guy whose name we've mentioned a few times this year with that walk-off interception that he had back in 71 at Vanderbilt that came up in connection with the Missouri win. By the way, while I'm mentioning Daryl Bishop, I couldn't remember which high school he was from, and somebody sent me in a note. I meant to mention this before. He was a Thomas Jefferson High School grad there in Louisville. So Mike Edwards could join an elite club tomorrow. Also, if Kentucky gets a win, it would be 8 wins in the first 11 games. That hadn't happened since 84. It would be only the fourth time for that to happen since 1950, and one of those was in 76, and the 8th win came via a forfeit. They actually only won 7 during the season. So a lot of things on the line tomorrow. This is a Middle Tennessee team that is playing really well. They've won 4 straight. They have a veteran quarterback who has a lot of experience against name programs, Power 5 schools. He's played against 9 of them, Brent Stockstill. Good ratio of touchdowns to interceptions. The offensive coordinator is Tony Franklin, the former Kentucky assistant under Hal Mumme, so you're going to see a lot of air raid principles. But they've given up 25 sacks and 62 tackles for loss, and I think what Kentucky will need to do is do what Georgia and Vanderbilt did against them, beat them 49-7, 35-7 respectively. Now, that was in September, with a caveat, but both were able to out-athlete them, and that's what Kentucky should be able to do to swallow up some of those receivers and jam them at the line of scrimmage and disrupt the timing of the air raid. And then, you know, get after Stockstill a little bit. And that doesn't mean, you know, in that offense you can do a lot of three-step drops, short things, get the ball out quick to negate the impact of sacks and to keep guys from – and I would expect that's one way to attack Josh Allen is just get the ball out of the quarterback's hands before Josh can get to him. But what that means is you got to have corners and secondary people that are good enough to play tight coverage and not get beat deep frequently, and I think Kentucky should be able to do that. One thing that came up yesterday in Coach Stoops' remarks is that Josh Pascal might get a little time. He's continuing to do more and more in practice, so that'd be really cool for the last home game to see Josh get out there, even for just a few snaps. Let's see. Josh Allen has accepted a bid to the Senior Bowl. By the way, there's a neat post on KSR with Freddie Maggard's comments when Josh was a freshman or was a high school player coming to Kentucky. And Freddie took heat at times from some of you for being too positive or whatever it might be, or you thought he, you questioned his knowledge when he would tell you some of these guys that had two stars that they could really play, like Josh Allen. Well, it turned out, as was the case very much more often than not, he knew what he was talking about. Basketball, Kentucky's got VMI on Sunday. They're 3-1, but the one loss was a 39-pointer to Pitt. They play the Princeton offense, so that could be a little bit of a challenge. Kentucky women with a nice win over Virginia last night at Rupp, 63-51 to go to 3-0. Taylor Murray had 12 points to lead Kentucky, joined the 1,000-point club. And men's soccer, big match in the NCAA playoffs on Sunday at 4 at the Bell against Portland. So weather should be nice for that. Hopefully you'll get out to see that one as well. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We are heading to a break. When we come back, Jeremy Jarman joins the program. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
16 after the top of the hour, to the Kentucky Brandon Hotline we go. Bring in Jeremy Jarman. You'll hear him with Dusty Bonner and Christy Thomas on the Countdown to Kickoff show tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern on the UK Sports Network. And it is Senior Day. Jeremy, do you remember your Senior Day?
I do. I remember, you know, I think one of the things kind of going in, my senior day was a little unofficial just because I didn't
right.
go through the, you know, the
Forgot
whole process.
That.
You know, my senior day happened to be my last bowl game there in Memphis, my hometown. And, you know, I didn't know it at the time. You know, I'd find that out a few months later. But you know, I definitely know what it's like to kind of be, you know, towards the end. And, you know, and I definitely, you know, can sympathize and empathize in some ways with these guys. It's definitely a bittersweet time period, and there's going to be a lot of emotions involved for these guys on Saturday today.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. A very unfair end to your season, your career here at Kentucky. So you didn't really know when that last day officially was. But talk to me a little bit about what the mindset will be. I mean, you had a lot of your, you know, former teammates that went through it. What are they going to be dealing with tomorrow?
Well, they're going to be dealing with the emotions of having their, you know, having friends and family that are going to be coming into Lexington this weekend. And, I mean, these guys are going to be emotional. I mean, this is the last time they're going to be playing in Commonwealth Stadium. They're going to be, you know, it's a time of reminiscing, thinking back on all the hard work that you've done in the community, in the classroom, on the football field, and how when that sun goes down, you know, in Commonwealth, that'll be the last time they're officially playing a game for a university that they're going to be tied to for the rest of their lives. And those emotions before the game and those emotions after the game, they're going to be running. And, you know, and these guys, these seniors, you know, they want to leave a legacy. And they want those fans to really come out, and they want them to show them on Saturday how much it means to them, you know, the dedication and the hard work that they put in to finally put, you know, Coach Stoops in a position to do something that hasn't been done here at this university in a long time. And I think it is extremely important for our fans to come out and show their gratitude to these players, you know, who have come and they've brought a culture change, you know, to this program, and they brought wins to this program, and they put this program during the course of the season into the national spotlight because of the character, because of the work ethic. And it is, I mean, I can't emphasize how big of a senior day this is.
Let's talk a little bit about the opponent, Middle Tennessee. We'll start with their offense because they have a veteran quarterback. And they have a coordinator who, and Tony Franklin, who comes from air raid coaching tree. So you're going to see you're going to see an attack that's going to try to stretch you or your defense side to side and then north to south. How does Kentucky combat that?
You know, this defense, Tom, they just have to find a way to get back to what they had been. You know, last week, obviously a huge disappointment. the letdown there, not being able to kind of get back to form for whatever reason that may be. But this defense has to get back in these last two to three games, three including the bowl game, to being that stingy defense they had been. I mean, there's so many playmakers on that defensive side of the ball. You know, first and foremost, they just have to get back to stopping the run and winning on first down and really putting Middle Tennessee State into some of those situations where you know that they have to pass the ball. You know, MTSU, do they have the playmakers like how Tennessee had out there at the wide receiver position? They got some decent players, but they don't have the size and they don't have the athleticism out there, you know, on their outside receivers the way Tennessee had. Those are some very talented receivers that we're going to see, you know, for the next few years there. But our defensive backs, I mean, you know, we still stand with those guys. You know, our defensive backfield, I mean, this is the best defensive backfield, Tom, that's come through this university in a long time. And for that, this is one of the best defensive backfields in the country. And this isn't just my opinion. You know, I've talked with NFL scouts. They like all five, six of our guys that are rotating in. This is a talented group that's just got to go back out, and they got to get back on track. And it starts with our seniors. Yeah, this is their senior day, but our seniors, they have to come out aggressive, and they have to set the tone and make sure that they don't have the kind of lapses that they had last week.
I was going back and looking at this earlier this week. Darius West went out on a third down stop, actually, on Georgia's first drive of the second half. So you had almost the whole second half without him, and you had to play the whole first half without him down at Tennessee. And of the 58 points that Kentucky gave up in those two games, 37 of them came in those four quarters when Darius West wasn't out there. Is he that important?
He is important, you know, to that extent. But I think Devontae Robinson, and I think the coaches would tell you the same thing, they're excited about him. Devontae's put really, really good stuff out there on film. I think, you know, when you look at that, you just had players, some really good players the last 2 weeks. Those wide receivers for Tennessee, obviously those guys for Georgia, I mean, you know, this is big-time college football. I mean, we're watching guys play in this league and Kroger Field and on the road that are going to play on the next level. I mean, and that's what it boils down to is, you know, can our defensive backs, can they make plays against guys who are equally just as talented as them on the other side of the ball? And it just comes down to who wants it more. You know, you look at that throw up, you know, that play against Tennessee before the half, that was a very well-executed play by Tennessee. If you go back and look at that, there was only one player that was intended to catch that football, Tom. The other two wide receivers that were down the field, they boxed out our defensive backs. And that Tennessee wide receiver, number one, he did a great job of going up and getting the ball at the highest point. They executed better than we did in that Hail Mary scenario. And that's what it boils down to. They wanted the ball more in their 50-50 balls that they threw up.
Yeah, that's something you hear Cal talk about in basketball sometimes. And the thing I know frustrates Coach Stoops is that they shouldn't have ever run the play because Kentucky had them in third and eight further back down the field. And if they get the stop there, they punt it back, and the half ends 10-0. But that was a huge play.
Oh, yeah.
The way Kentucky's absolutely struggling on offense now play to be down 17-0 is, you know, it one touchdown feels like two in that situation.
Yeah, because, I mean, that just breaks your back going in at halftime. You know, you come out, and you know that they're getting the ball. You're just trying to kind of get the halftime regroup. And to give that up, you know, at half, I mean, that was just demoralizing. And Tennessee, I tell you what, their receivers every time, and it showed true on the film leading into this game, their wide receivers, you know, for whatever reason, their mentality, you know, last week is that when a ball goes up, we're 6'2", 6'3", we're going to come down with the ball. And they came down with almost every 50-50 ball that was thrown up. And, you know, it stunned me because we have big corners and athletic corners, and they just got beat in those situations. And those guys have to look themselves in the mirror. They got to look at the film, and they got to come back with a mindset that this isn't going to happen this week.
That size that Kentucky's recruited at corner, it's where it really needs to pay dividends in this matchup tomorrow against a team like this. They've got smaller receivers. It's not the same challenge you faced against the Vols, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is you're right, Tom. This is a different kind of group, and you know, so I'll be curious to kind of see, you know, how they come out and how they try and attack. They come out aggressive. You know, Tennessee came out very aggressive from the beginning. I would expect Middle Tennessee State to do the same thing, to come out and try and take some shots and, you know, try to get our big defensive backs kind of backing up. And, you know, maybe they use that, you know, maybe trying to take a shot to back off our corners a little bit and try and start chipping away that way. But, you know, I would be surprised to see Middle Tennessee State come in and put on sustained drives throughout this game and, you know, continue to find ways to move the chains. But strange things have happened this year. But, you know, the strength of this team is the defense. And, you know, and they have to go out and they got to make plays, especially our seniors.
Jeremy, appreciate the time as always. We'll see you at the stadium tomorrow.
Sounds good, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Jeremy Jarman, Dusty Bonner, Christy Thomas on the Countdown to Kickoff show on the UK Sports Network, 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. We're heading to a break. Mike Pratt, next up, it's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Seven after the top of the hour, Mike Pratt joins us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. His weekly visits presented by Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. Check them out at boonesbutchershop.com for the holidays. Mike, we'll start on the football side before we jump into basketball. A couple minutes here before the break at the bottom of the hour. This is you've played and coached whatever sport it is. It doesn't have to be football. Momentum is a powerful force. Old Mo, as you like to call it, and Kentucky desperately needs, on the offensive side, some good things to happen. This is a team that has a good defense, but they do give up a lot of big plays, and Kentucky could gain some confidence by hitting a few of those tomorrow.
Boy, they certainly could. Mo is not on their side right now in that regard. So how do you get it? Well, you know, that's up to the individuals. Coaches can't get it to players, regardless of what people think. Players got to work that out themselves mentally. And, it's a tough call. When you get down, it's tough to decide who gets up and who doesn't. That's up to the players. And it takes some good plays. As we said during basketball, you have to see the ball go through the hoop to really get yourself straightened out, maybe. Football, you need to see some good plays, whatever position you play, some touchdowns, get the fans excited. I mean, that's all part of the deal to get you out of a mental funk and get Mo turned around on your side. This is a pretty good Middle Tennessee team, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And,
yeah,
you know,
this is not like what I thought maybe would be a cupcake game, but it's not.
And, this is the out of conference game against the mid-major foe that you wish you had played in September.
yeah, certainly.
When Vandy and Georgia played them.
But, you know, Tennessee played them. I don't know when they exactly what part of their schedule they played them, but didn't Tennessee play them, or was that Charlotte that
No, they the two SEC teams they played were Tennessee played Charlotte, Vandy and Georgia. Vandy beat them 35-7 in the opener. Georgia beat them 49-7 a couple of weeks later. We're going to coming up on a hard break. So let's take that. We'll come back. More from Mike Pratt on the Leach Report Radio Network. When we come back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Back with Mike Pratt on the Kentucky Branded Hotline, and we'll shift gears to a little Kentucky basketball. What did you see that you liked out of the Cats' performance against North Dakota on Wednesday?
Let me say one more thing about football, Tom, that this is senior night, and or senior day, excuse me, tomorrow. And, you know, when you're in kind of a tailspin as the Cats are, as a coach, you got to figure out how to make it fun. And that's easier said than done because there's certain things about participating that aren't fun, but you know, they're going to have to be upbeat and positive. I'm sure the coaches are. What Kentucky needs to do is, you know, get off right from the start, get in control of this game. And I think that'll loosen them up. And I think that'll jumpstart them if they can get out early in that first quarter. So that's my last piece of thought on that.
If they could find a way to hit a few of those, I think when you're struggling, if you can find a way to do the things that you haven't been doing, which for Kentucky, that would mean hitting some big plays, would all of a sudden, you know, just the mindset changes. Oh, we're back. Even if you're not, you just start to think better. And I think that would be wonderful if they could get off to that kind of start.
Well, Mark Stoops said that he thought his offensive line was just a step or two off here or there, and they can get it back in rhythm for a line. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
You talk about this in basketball. It probably happens in football, too, is game slippage where things are going along and, you know, you think you're doing the same things you were doing, whether it's the O-line or whatever, in September, and maybe you're not. Maybe you go back and look at what you did, and maybe that's the thing. You go back and just look at what you were doing when things were going well and show them that.
That's why they have tape machines, and that's why they video everything nowadays and have access breakdown machines to give players different views and different thoughts on what happened, as you said, when you were rolling and when you're struggling. So I'm sure they've broken this thing down to every little step some of these guys make, which is great. Great learning tool.
All right, basketball. What did you see that you liked out of the North Dakota win?
Well, I thought the defense in particular. I know Cal's been really harping on that and working on it as far as applying pressure on the ball, as far as the rotation. Rotation's so important. You know, filling over, moving up. We saw Cats make some interceptions on passes. They anticipated well. They were looking not only to move over, rotate over, you rotate up. And that allows you to do things. And if you can anticipate that, you're going to come with some steals. So this team likes to play in transition. Probably right now their best part of their game is transition. Doesn't surprise you and I or anybody, really. I mean, that's kind of where teams are early in the season. And I think the defense made steps. They're making steps because they had a long way to go after the Duke game, but they're making steps. Got to figure out a way to get Nick back involved, though. I mean, he was outstanding Wednesday, Friday night. Okay,
yeah,
he was outstanding when he had 19 rebounds against Southern Illinois, but he wasn't there against North Dakota. Nick needs to find some form of consistency in his game. And when he does, you see the development of EJ Montgomery. You see that development. So those two big guys, it's going to be key to this team long term. I mean, short term, Reed's doing a nice job. PJ had a big game. And Keldon Johnson got to the glass for 10 rebounds. So, you know, but long term, you're going to have to see Nick be consistent. I've always said that if he could just get 10.7 rebounds in a block, just as a minimum, which I think is very, very doable for him. If he gets more, wonderful. And then EJ throws in the other night, he had 7 boards and 8 points, you know, in a couple blocks. So that's where the upside defensively is, those two guys really getting some things done.
Those are really the only two guys that they have are going to be rim protectors, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I think Keldon will block a shot if given the right angle. And so will PJ. PJ's not a bad shot blocker. But two guys that can really move across the lane with those long arms and their sides, move across the lane and pick somebody up who's driving the other side of the lane to the rim, or maybe come from behind on a rebound and block a shot. Those two guys can do that.
Talk with Mike Pratt. It's at Mike Pratt 22 on Twitter. PJ, we're talking about, you know, momentum for the Kentucky offense and football earlier. That had to be very, very welcome for PJ to just, you know, when guys get into a slump or a slow start, whatever it is, you can start to press. Now this game like that, just you hit some shots, you get 25 points. It just eases a lot of tension, right?
Yeah, he had struggled with a hand that he had worked on this summer, and I'm not so sure it was feeling quite right yet. And then I think he re-injured another finger on one of his hands. So it's been a battle for him. And now after that game, he ought to feel comfortable. Particularly, you like the way he shot the ball from the outside. I mean, that will keep defenders honest because many times they would back off him, offering that outside shot to him. He continues on this path. I mean, 4 of 5 beyond the arc and 9 of 13 shooting. Pretty good. If he continues like that, he's going to make the defense play him out there. And that will open up. Anytime you hit the perimeter shots consistently, it opens up the paint, the block-to-block area, which would be right in Nick's wheelhouse and right in EJ's wheelhouse.
The conventional wisdom coming into the season was that Ashton Hagans would be the point guard, but Emmanuel quickly seems to be putting a little bit of a early hold on that for now, doesn't he?
Yeah, I was really concerned about the point guard position. Those guys had really struggled out there, and being young, that doesn't surprise me. But, I mean, Emmanuel now has put together a couple pretty good games. He shot it well against SIU and played pretty well against North Dakota. Now, the key to that position is don't turn it over, right? And quickly did not have a turnover. Now, Ashton had two, but quickly didn't have one. So I would say that he's probably going to get a large portion of those minutes to start with. If he continues to play like that, you really just can't have your point guard turning it over. You know that.
No, because a lot of those turnovers are what they call the live ball variety, where they lead to quick baskets.
Yeah, out on the floor usually, where they only have to go three-quarters of a court to get an opportunity to score. Yeah, that's a tough turnover.
All right, Mike, I appreciate the time. We'll see you on Sunday for VMI at RUP.
Yes, sir, man. Let's bring him home tomorrow.
Let's hope so. Mike Pratt joining us on the Leach Report, normally on Thursdays, but he's with us on Friday this week, presented by Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. And he'll be with me for the call on Sunday at, I think it's 6 o'clock Eastern start, so that means we'll get the pregame rolling with Dave Baker, Rex Chapman at 4:30 Eastern time on the UK Sports Network. Right now it is 18 away from the top of the hour. Our Jimmy John's Freaky Fast Fact for the week has to do with the Middle Tennessee defense. 19 takeaways on the season. That's top 20 in the nation. Jimmy John's has a new store in downtown Lexington, 105 North Mill. So if you work downtown, they can deliver. That's going to get us to our next break. TJ Beisner from CoachCal.com when we come right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
DJ Beisner joins us on the Kentucky Brandon Hotline from CoachCal.com as the Wildcats will return to the court on Sunday. Your son plays on the football team, TJ, as a walk-on freshman wide receiver. Some of these practices Cal has talked about since that opening loss sounds like it's been a little more football-like.
Yes, a lot more physical. That's a good way to describe it. You know, even coming out of that Duke game, there were some videos on social media from the men's basketball account that showed working for loose balls and how they're getting back to just really trying to compete with each other, being physical. And you saw that, I think, not just in the way they played against Southern Illinois, but this week when they took the court and it was a little empty in Rupp Arena at home. You could hear it on TV. If you were at the game, you heard every word that Cal was saying, and he was coaching hard. He's trying to get them to play with that. You know, practices haven't been bad. They've been great practices all summer. They've been competitive practice, but to really respond from the way they got beat against Duke, he wanted them to have that killer instinct. And so they've kind of worked on it. And in that game on Wednesday night, there was a point, I think it was about the 12-minute mark in the first half. There was a loose ball on the offensive end, and E.J. Montgomery kind of just bended his hips and did just waving his arms like, you know, hey, look, I tried to get the ball, but I'm not really diving down for it. And in that moment, I said a little prayer to myself, you know, Lord, please show mercy on E.J. Montgomery for what is about to happen to him in about 30 seconds. And I looked down to the bench, and Cal had his fist clenched, E.J., because that's not going to be tolerated. And that's what they preached all week. Do not let loose balls, 50-50 balls, go by. Fight for them. Dive on the floor. Get after it. And he's going to hold them accountable in practice, which he's been doing. And we saw in the game on Wednesday night, holding them accountable in the games as well. And E.J. responded and played great after that. But that's just part of the shift in becoming a college player and understanding how to get over that hump.
You covered this program for several years, but now working in this capacity with CoachCal.com, you're seeing it from the inside out. Curious just to what's anything that's surprised you or been noteworthy that you always wondered how that worked and now to see it.
Well, this might sound cynical, but I wondered when I was taking this job, you know, the stuff you see from Cal in a press conference and the stuff you hear from Cal and you see on social media, how much of this is him and how much of it is just, you know, some sort of marketing pitch? This is the brand of Kentucky basketball. And the reality is, he is 100% genuine. Everything you think he is based on what you've read and seen in press conferences, that's him. I mean, we'll sit in his office and he'll be talking. It'll be the exact same things he says in the press conference when he comes down there. He doesn't, dance around things. He's pretty honest about everything when it comes to staff and players, and he genuinely cares. I mean, this is not the players first thing is not just some clever marketing pitch from 10 years ago. I mean, he really cares about these kids and he cares about the staff. And when we lose to Duke, it hurts. It hurts for everybody, but he's back in there and he's building them back up. And that's it's been cool, honestly, moving my family across the state and taking a job that, hey, this is legit. It is what we thought it was. This guy is invested in everybody and wants the best for everyone and is going to work tirelessly. That's the other thing I've learned, Tom, is I can't keep up with him. He's twice my age. And the man is always traveling, moving at 100 miles an hour. He's wearing me out. But no, he's genuine. He's exactly what you would think he is.
I've always said that's why this works the way it does for him. When you have all the roster turnover that you have, to have the success that they've had doing that. Because in reality, the players have a greater percentage of the leverage than they probably ever had. When they have the opportunity to leave as quickly as they do now, as opposed to 10, 20 years ago and beyond. And you can crack down on them, but ultimately you have to make it a situation where they want to do what you need them to do. Mm-hmm. And he does that because he's genuine.
You look at the guys that are in the NBA, they're successful. They're not just guys who are in the NBA. The great majority of the guys who have come through Kentucky have careers, and it's because they make the most out of this time, whether it's one season or two seasons or three, even four. They make the most of it by understanding their coach is going to invest in them, and the assistant coaches are invested. I mean, honestly, you go through all the way through the entire athletic department, everything that's done is about the kids. And even when it's as simple as, you know, hey, I want to do an interview with somebody, or I want to have somebody on my podcast today, you know, I look at the class schedules. I have to understand, well, hey, they have classes going on here, then they have practice. Let them have tonight. You know, the culture that is built in is on making sure that the kids are taken care of first and knowing that everybody in that building is invested in them as people and as basketball players and, you know, students as well. So it's a leadership thing with Cal, and you see the pushback. The players give that back. I mean, these guys, when Anthony Davis was here for his Hall of Fame induction, the whole family here, so excited to see Cal, happy to be back because this place means something. And the people, not just Cal and Kenny Payne, the people in that building mean something to Anthony Davis and his family. He was here this summer, and we did the little thing where I had him interview EJ. He was doing a camp over at Lexington Christian Academy. I went over there and was talking to him. I said, hey, would you have any chance to do this? And while you're here, and he was like, yeah, let's do it in an hour. I'm like, what? Because it means something. And people were invested in him as a person, as a student, as an athlete when he was here. And that is, I think you hit it on the head. That's why this works. And if it's going to continue to keep working, it's because that's the thing that's the most important. And that's what Cal tells all of us that work in that building.
Yeah, it's a really pretty simple lesson that works in a lot of other things other than basketball. You know, you treat people the right way, and they'll fight for you.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the players first. You know, it's the sales pitch, but it's genuinely a good management style, servant leadership, and he preaches it and he does it, and you see it throughout the rest of the staff. That's what it is. And that's what's carrying this thing.
I saw something on Twitter. This was the game the T-Wolves and the Pelicans were playing the other night. This was a quote, I guess, from Jeff Van Gundy, who was doing the analysis on TV. And he said that something to the effect of the Kentucky guys are all starting and the Duke guys are all role players. I was like, there's the pitch for the recruiting brochure. There's the cover quote.
Well, that was I saw that too. And I was like, oh, man, I think it was during the game. I can't wait till the game ends. I got to make sure everybody knows about this. We got to figure out what to do with it.
TJ, appreciate the time. Enjoy the football game tomorrow, and we'll see you Sunday at Rupp.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
It's TJ Beisner, CoachCal.com, and we're heading to a break. Brian Miller from the Bluegrass Sports Commission when we come right back. It's the Leach Report, and we are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, two locations, Hamburg and in Palomar. The latter's where we'll be with our Monday morning quarterback show this week with Coach Ortmeier, Jacob Tamming. And you can go to Kentucky-owned and operated Wild Eggs, and they'll cater for a tailgate party, business function, whatever. Here's the number to call, 312-7288. That's an 859 number in Lexington. We'll be right back.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Final segment of our show for this Football Friday. And Brian Miller joins us from the Bluegrass Sports Commission. The annual awards dinner comes up at the end of January. And, Brian, this is a time when folks can start getting their tickets, right?
Absolutely, Tom. It's great to be on with you this morning, and obviously one of our favorite nights of the year, the Bluegrass Sports Awards, and got a pretty exciting lineup.
Vern Lundquist, is he going to be able to make it in? Because I'm sure we'll get some great stories if he does.
You know he will, and Vern is super excited to be there, and obviously has a similar career path that aligned with Tom Hammond, worked for competing stations, but we'll have some great stories to tell. And actually was employed by Jim Host and Host Communications, yep. So some great local ties, and we're excited to have him with us as well.
Sydney McLaughlin will be honored. Windstar Farm with the Triple Crown winner, Justify. And it was really cool to see that the Bobby Flynn Volunteer Award is going to those guys in the blue jackets at Kroger Field and Rupp Arena that are always so helpful, and there's no more passionate Wildcat fans than the Committee of 101 guys.
You know, you're exactly right, Tom, and the Committee of 101, of course, started under Coach Rupp, and over 300 guys that give selflessly of their time and actually pay membership dues to be there and be a part of the fabric that is Kentucky basketball. And you forgot another one of our award winners, yourself, and
honored to be in that group. And we're about out of time, unfortunately, so let me real quickly get you to tell me how folks can get tickets for the event on January 30th.
Yeah, well, the website's great, bluegrasssports.org. Be the best way to hop on, check out the event, and get tickets. Obviously, you can get involved by calling the office at 420-4191. But check us out on Facebook, Bluegrass Sports Commission on Facebook and Twitter.
Thank you, Brian. Got to run. Thank We're you, out man. Of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday.
If you have a question for Tom, email it to Leach Report.